Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. And we're rolling. Welcome back, everybody, to Dear Abby. I'm your host. My name is Abby. And as you can see, we are back in the normal place that I normally record, my home. Welcome back to my bed. Welcome back to my podcast. And welcome me back to California. I was in Utah all last week and I recorded last week, which I'm kind of glad that I planned poorly, because I think last week's episode was like helpful for me mentally and emotionally to process everything. So thank you guys always for listening to my vulnerable, honest feelings, as always. I just got back from work and I'm feeling tired because, and this goes into what we're talking about today, but I'm tired because I got no sleep last night, like not a lick of sleep, maybe like 30 minutes. And then I had a bad dream and I woke up and it was very scary. And that's something that's very common for me nowadays, but it was more common when I was in the depths of the beginning of my OCD and of anxiety and all of that fun stuff. So I was just thinking all about that today on kind of what sleep and dreaming and all of that stuff kind of turns into when you're suffering with a mental illness, especially something like OCD. And so I wanted to talk about that. I don't really have any tips or tricks because I'm still learning how to cope with that. I think I just wanted to bring awareness to it. And so people know that they're not alone and you're not a freak. And yeah, you're just not alone. A lot of people experience this that I know personally as well. So but before we dive in, I wanted to do some dubs and L's. So dub for this week has been that, have I talked about this before? I'm getting really good at making creamies with the Ninja creamy machine thing. And I'm already becoming like the neighborhood Ninja creamy connoisseur, if you will. And I'm already creating new recipes. I've used other people's recipes, but I don't like them ever. I don't know. Like, they just aren't that good most of the time. So I've been creating my own recipes and they're all turning out fantastic. So I've been eating ice cream my whole life and that's what it is. And it's a Ninja creamy, which is like, it makes ice cream. It can make sorbets. It depends on what ingredients you put into it. But basically you just mix a bunch of stuff, put it in the freezer. After it's frozen solid, then you put it into the machine and then you click whatever button you want it to be and then you mix it and it turns it into ice cream. I found little tips and tricks, so I'll probably post more about that just because I think it's fun and it's yummy. But I've done a lot of protein shakes and protein ice creams, which have been amazing and so yummy. Very excited about those. I've already dropped off a couple of pints. Well, actually, I don't know how big a pint is. Yeah, like pints. They're like kind of a pint each, maybe. To my sister, to her kids, to my boyfriend. He's my fiance. My fiance, he's obsessed with them as well. However, he's getting a bit greedy because every time we eat one, he's like, okay, did you make another one? Or you need to make another one immediately. And I'm like, slow your roll. Let me get into the swing of this. And I know it's because he just wants to eat it the next day, but it's kind of time consuming, and it's also, I want it to be a little bit different each time, so I need to come up with a little recipe each time. So it's not just throw some milk, throw some protein powder, even though that is kind of what it is most of the time. But I have been loving that, and I want to make like a lemon sorbet, because I made a mango or a peach one, but I want to make a lemon sorbet, even though it's not summer anymore, but I don't really care. I love lemon any time of the year. Also, if you can hear my dryer in the background, I'm very sorry. Those clothes need to be dried though ASAP. So I apologize. Hopefully you can't hear it because that would be that'd be kind of like a bad microphone, but we'll see. The L is I've just not gotten great sleep for a while now. And I have not gotten great sleep all week. I was in a new place, and usually my nervous system, it takes me a while to like feel settled enough to sleep really well. So that's been kind of a headache to deal with, is trying to fall asleep in a new place. And then by the time I got adjusted, we headed home. So now I'm home, and I don't know what happened last night, but I just could not fall asleep at all till like 6 a.m. And I fell asleep for like maybe 30 minutes. And I did all of the right things yesterday. I worked, okay? I worked, I walked, I worked out, I exercised for like an hour and a half. I ate good, I filled myself up, I didn't eat too late, I had fun, I danced for a little bit, relaxed, journaled, read some scripture, went to bed, could not fall asleep all night. So you do all the right things and sometimes it just still doesn't work. I think that's something that really frustrates me about some of the stigmas with mental health is, well, then you're not doing all of the right stuff. Like, you should be sleeping more. You should be taking, you should be eating healthier. You should be working out. You need to work out this much. You need to sleep this much. You do, I don't know, all of these things. And then you'll be mentally perfect, basically. And I feel like it sells you. It used to sell me on this, okay, if I do this, then all of my issues will go away. And that's just never been the case, to be honest. Like, I'll do the things that are helpful when it comes to taking care of my physical health that they say helps your mental health, and sometimes it works. But I also think when I stress myself out with, I have to get good sleep, I have to eat all of these nutrients today, I have to work out and lose this many calories and burn this in order to stay healthy, and my heart rate has to go up and then go back down this amount to keep my heart healthy, and I get really overwhelmed with just all of that stuff. And then even when I do the things correctly, I don't even feel like that much better at the end of the day. Sometimes I do all of the right stuff, all the good stuff, and I do feel a lot better. I think just sometimes I think about it a little bit too black and white. Like, if I don't feel good, I did everything bad today, basically, and I am back to square one. It just depends on the day. There's just a lot of other things. We are just very complex. I feel like there's a lot of things that go into our mental health and physical health and sleeping. I don't know. I just don't know exactly what it is sometimes that makes you not feel good. Yeah, that's definitely the L, is that I haven't been sleeping good. Another L for this week has been, I have been ruminating a lot because I haven't gone to therapy in a while. Like I said last week, I'm trying to do more exposures on my own, and I'm trying to write more scripts and create more voice memos for myself to talk about my fears, but when I listen to the scripts or the voice memos, to not try to figure it out or solve it, but just listen. And it's kind of like my worries and my fears, my deepest fears, and I bring them to the surface and I listen to them until I basically get bored and I just realize, like, oh, I don't have to spend so much time on this. I don't have to prevent everything bad that could possibly happen before I live my life. Because I think that's just a big trap. Like, I have to make sure everything is on the right track in order to be on the right track. Oh, also really fast. So last week, someone commented on my YouTube, or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I don't know, sometime recently. They commented on my YouTube saying, did you watch like the cat or the Popstar Academy about the global girl group Cat's Eye, because I had talked that I've been listening to their music and I like them and they're all super pretty and fun and it's just fun vibes. I hadn't watched the show yet, but I watched it this week just in my spare time and then on my plane rides. It was crazy to watch. If you like documentaries and you like K-pop or any of like girl group vibes, any of that stuff, it's really entertaining. It looked like a lot to put a bunch of young girls through, but obviously the girls that wanted to do it. And I don't think any of their parents were like forcing it on them. Their parents were probably worried. Anyways, it was basically HYBE, who created BTS, and a lot of their executives wanted to create a global girl pop group. And they wanted it to be from, they obviously, by global, they want it to be people from all across the world and just like a mix. So I guess hundreds of thousands of people submitted and auditioned via email or whatever, video, and then they narrowed it down to, I don't know exactly, maybe a couple hundred, and then they narrowed that more down into people who actually got accepted into like the Academy, which was in LA, so everyone was flown out to LA, or they had to pay, I don't know, but. And a lot of these girls are like 16 to 18. When they got there, when they were done, they were all like, I think at least 18, because they were there for a long time. They were training day in, day out for a long time. They were trained on how to sing, how to dance. Some of these girls had never danced before, never sang before. So they basically took someone who didn't really know how to do a lot of this stuff, and they trained them into stars or pop stars or whatever. It was just a really crazy thing to watch, and I liked it. But then near the end, I was so annoyed with how they handled telling the girls that had been there for years, or like 2 years, or I don't know if it was just a year. I feel like it was like 2 years, who had been there for forever, training from the beginning, instead of telling them that they weren't making it to the girl group because either the fans didn't like them or they just weren't improving the way that they wanted them to improve or whatever it was. And they, instead of like the people that have been working with these young girls the whole time, instead of them telling them, hey, your dream isn't happening, pretty much, like your dreams are going to be crushed. We're crushing your dreams, pretty much. Instead of real people doing it to these young girls who have dedicated so much time, they just had it on a screen, and this like dumb robot woman voice was like, thank you so much for all of the hard work and dedication you put into this program. However, and it basically just said everyone who was eliminated. And I think that was just so sad, because these are young girls, are so impressionable, like that this is a huge deal for them. And it just wasn't handled gently or kindly, at least from what I saw. I don't know, because it's reality TV. But it did kind of make me sad that that's how, you know, some people had their dreams crushed. It's just, it's all really interesting. I was watching and I was like, I think that would be one of the only ways that I would make a lot of girl best friends, is being forced to do that, pretty much. Because if not, I just keep to myself. And not that I love keeping to myself or I hate it, it's just like I'm just used to keeping to myself. But I feel like if I was forced to be in this type of academy with a bunch of girls, I would be best friends with all of them. Sorry, I'm nerding out about this because I love K-pop, and it's not that it's K-pop because it's supposed to be global, but it's very much the same artistry, because it's singing, dancing, and it's kind of the same energy, even though it's a little bit different. But I think that it's like just so entertaining. It's like my favorite form of entertainment. I think it's really impressive when people can sing and dance at the same time. And I think a little bit of every girl has a dream to be like a pop star, not necessarily for the fame. I think just to feel cool and pretty and get to change into different outfits and have different hair and different makeup, and you can change your vibe up and what you wear a lot and stuff like that, just sounds fun. And then to have a tight-knit group of girls that you're friends with and you get to do all those things with just sounds cool. I was sobbing each time someone had to go home because it was just so sad. Anyways, it was all just very entertaining. So if you haven't watched it and you're interested in that stuff, it's a good watch. It did make me want to continue to learn how to dance because it just looked really fun to do. My favorite part of the whole thing was, which I kind of related to, there was this one instructor who was basically the leader of, who was basically the head of this training program. And she didn't teach everything, but she was the head of it. And she helped all of these girls along the way. She made sure these girls had what they needed. She was kind of a mother figure to these girls while they were there. She was like their support, basically. And would also give feedback on their dancing and singing and all this stuff. And she probably, I think, from what I understand, she like spent like the most amount of time with these girls. And at the end of the show, once everything was wrapped up, obviously the whole time there was a lot of drama, and the girls weren't ever actually that the girls were never actually really catty. I think they had a little bit of an issue with one of the girls, but they figured it out very maturely. And I feel it was just kind of nice to watch these young girls like all be friends, even though not everyone can be best friends, and that's okay. But at the end, the mom figure, she's very much a tomboy vibes, and she's really cool, really nice, really sweet, but very chill. And to end kind of the whole thing was an interview of her talking about how she says her whole life she's always thought about when she has kids that she wants boys. She's just always wanted boys. That's what she tells everyone. And she said, but after going through this academy and being with these girls all the time, and they have so many big emotions, and they're up and down, and they're all around, there's something so special about young women. And now she's saying she wants girls. Like, she is excited, and she really wants girls, like daughters. And I just thought that was really sweet, because I think I used to only want boys because I felt like I was a lot to handle, and I kind of suppressed my own feelings as a woman and as a girl. And I didn't fully fall in love with being a woman. I think just growing up, I saw my woman tenderness and sensitivity as like a super negative thing. But recently I've been trying to fall in love with my womanhood again and my feminine side and just myself and me being a woman. A lot of that is my sensitivity and my emotions. I can kind of be all over the place. I've just fallen back in love with that. I feel like now I'm very excited to have girls, and I hope that I can continue to heal my, I don't know, inner girl and to nourish that, whatever that looks like. So that way when I do have daughters, I don't project anything onto them, and I can fully embrace being that side of me. All in all, it was very entertaining, very good. Made me want to join a girl group because that just looks so fun. And exhausting. It looks very exhausting. And it didn't look that fun during all of the training because it's just very stressful. But okay, now getting into the meat of the episode, we're talking about sleep and OCD specifically. When I tell you, this has been something that has blown my mind for the past couple of years. And what blows my mind is how crazy sleep can be when you are going through a lot mentally, and when you have a very strong OCD theme or fears. And it's like the second that my head hits the pillow, it's like a portal is open. This is really dramatic. It's like a portal into my fears is opened, and now all of a sudden my brain pulls out like a chalkboard and starts calculating and trying to figure out all of those fears while the fears are just flying around the chalkboard, and you're just sitting there trying to figure it all out. That's what it feels like mentally. Physically, it's cortisol, it's anxiety, it's heart palpitations, it's this I'm ready to go, I'm ready to fight feeling, something's happening, that type of a feeling in my body. I feel normally hot, I feel restless, very restless. And my mind feels very, very restless. It sometimes is like that for the entire night. And I've had probably weeks at this point of no sleep. Well, no, not right now, but I used to get no sleep. It's really interesting because I've never really had sleep as like an obsession before. Because some people I know fear falling asleep. They fear dreaming. They fear, what if I never fall asleep? Like, what if I can't fall asleep? If you're getting triggered by just listening, by hearing that, that's okay. Just be like, I don't know, maybe I will never fall asleep. Don't let that get stuck. Let it just poof, goodbye. So luckily I never had that intense of a fear around sleep. But when I tell you the dreams that I would have, and the dreams I sometimes do have when my OCD is very loud, they are crazy. They're so specific. They're so real. It feels so real. And when I wake up, I feel like I'm not rejuvenated. I feel like I've just, the whole night has just been like my mind is playing a horror movie while I'm sleeping and I have no control over it. Sometimes when I fall asleep, I'm dreaming. Sometimes when I'm awake, I feel like it's like a weird daydream and I'm like disassociating, but I'm also like watching a movie in my head and I don't know. It's just all this, it's just chaotic. It feels very chaotic. The energy feels chaotic. Sometimes I don't feel like I can find myself and be still. And it's all around just not the best. I think from what I understand, based on things that I've listened to and heard and studied with dreaming, and there's differing opinions, but from my understanding is sometimes when you dream, it's your brain trying to subconsciously figure something out. So it makes sense that if you're obsessing over something all day, during the day, then at night when you fall asleep, because you've been sending your brain signals that we need to figure this out, when you go to sleep, of course, it's going to try to solve it because that's sometimes what it does when you sleep. It's kind of like unfinished business, I feel like, what your dreams say, or just your experience while sleeping has kind of been how I've been feeling about it. But I would say that it's not like... They're blowing leaves in my backyard right now. Anyways, if you're somebody that puts a lot of meaning on dreams, I'd say if you're going through recovery, now's not the best time to figure out what your dreams mean. Maybe just wait until you feel more recovered and you can think clearly. Because I used to obsess over what my dreams meant. Like, did they... Because I would dream like really religious stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh, is that like something from God? Is he warning me about something? Because you hear of people who have dreams and visions and oh my gosh. And that just was exhausting because I never got an answer and I will never get an answer for that. So I had to just let go of dreams meaning anything. So yeah, trying to figure out what your dreams mean is not helpful in this context of recovering from OCD. I've heard some people talk about, all of this is regurgitated, by the way, and especially what I'm going to say, I've heard people talk about this on like OCD podcasts and whatever. So none of the ideas that I ever come up with are really my ideas. It's just things that I've learned, put into practice, and I'm like, okay, that works. And what I've heard from other people. There was one guy, I don't know his name, but he was talking about how you hear people who say, you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep every day in order to have... To live a long time, you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a day to have your brain function this way and all of these things, which, great, good to know. Sometimes, at least in my experience, kind of takes me away from living my life and being very present and grateful and everything because I'm obsessing, okay, I have to be healthy. I have to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. If not, then I'm like killing my body because how stressful is that then when you're trying to fall asleep and you can't? So I think what's helpful is becoming really comfortable with however much sleep I get, I'm happy with. I'm glad I got at least like 30 minutes of sleep last night. It could have been nothing. And I got sleep the night before. I'll probably be fine because a lot of people get no sleep for a long time and they're fine and they live a long time. So for me, breaking down this really rigid way of thinking when it comes to health and especially sleep has really helped me let go of this perfectionism. Of like keeping my body healthy, perfectionist type of a situation going on. And it helps me be more present to let go of, I need this much sleep. And if I don't, I'm ruining my life. I'm ruining my body. This means I have no self-discipline. This means I have blah, 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 blah. It just starts to spiral from there. I'll do my best to try to get good sleep. If I stay up one night a week to play video games, I'm fine with that because I'm spending time with my family. And friends that I normally don't get to spend time with. And if I can't fall asleep because I ate too late, because something happened and we just had to eat too late, I'm not going to rack my brain and shame myself and go over and over in my head again. Why did I do this? Now I'm going to have all these issues. It's like, that's so exhausting. It's not a big deal if you don't get perfect sleep every night. It's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. So letting go of that has really helped me with my sleep situation. Of course, if you're actually having like insomnia and you've had it for a while, then definitely go see someone, talk to a doctor. If you're having horrible, horrible nightmares every single night and you're scared to go to sleep, talk to a therapist or somebody that you trust. I don't really know how to fix that. I know I had that for a while, and the more I did recovery work during the day, the better my sleep got, because I was just able to let it go. And like, I was able to let it go during the day, which showed up when I would sleep. Like, my brain wasn't as desperate to figure something out and to rethink about something or to relive something. So the more work we do during the day, the more you're probably going to be able to sleep better. It might not always happen that way, but that's just been my experience. Supplementing to go to sleep, obviously, can be very helpful, but as long as it doesn't become like a compulsive thing, I think. And then to check to see, how am I doing with my sleep? Like, how is my sleep every single day? I feel like, was there anything else with sleep? I don't know. Like, sleep can just be really scary. And nighttime can just be really scary and really triggering for a lot of people with anxiety and OCD or depression or anything, because I think your brain just knows historically that nighttime is when some bad things happen. And so you feel more vulnerable at night. So if you're suppressing feelings, are going to come out at night because now you are more vulnerable. I think having a good bedtime routine for me has been super helpful, like turning off the TV, turning off games a while before I go to bed, like 30 minutes to sometimes an hour, depending on the day, taking a shower, doing some yoga. And my brain, even when I'm thinking of this, I can feel what it is like when I try to go to bed. My brain is going 1,000 miles per hour. And that feeling, I just have to lean into, because the more I push it away and I'm like, no, please, I don't want to like ruminate tonight again. I don't want to worry tonight. I don't want my brain to be on like that. Then I feel like the worse I feel. So even now I'm thinking, maybe I don't fall asleep tonight again. And if so, that's fine. Like, I'll stay up all night with you if you want me to, OCD. Let's see, bring it. Basically, if a feeling's making you feel worse, don't run away from it, is what I've learned. I think that's all I had for sleeping. It's been something that I've had a couple questions about, and also it's something that I've just experienced really intensely with OCD, is the lack of sleep or wanting to sleep all day. But that's more so with depression. I just wanted to sleep. I just all day was just waiting to go to sleep. And then once I finally got to the end of the day, and I was able to fall asleep, it was just relief. I just wanted to sleep. It's a very big deal for a lot of people, because some people do have like the obsessions with sleeping. Anyways, I wanted to bring awareness to this topic, because it can be really scary if you're going through it, and it can be really daunting, and just like, you dread going to sleep every day, and that's just a horrible feeling. So just be there for yourself, and again, don't run from the dread or run from the feelings that come up when you think of, oh my gosh, what if I don't sleep tonight? Just be like, then I don't sleep tonight. I'll probably be fine. I might be miserable at work, but that's fine. I'll figure it out. I think another thing that was hard for me with sleep is I thought I was going crazy. So when my dreams got really intense, I was scared I was just gonna like snap in the middle of my sleep and just like go into psychosis or go, you know, quote unquote crazy, whatever that even is. I tried to think of a bunch of compulsions that maybe you do surrounding sleep. I've named a few, but I think just gauging how you feel when you wake up can be a compulsive behavior. If you want to make sure you're getting enough sleep, or if you're not sure if you got restful enough sleep, that can be a thing. Definitely a compulsive thing is if you have crazy dreams, try to figure out what your dreams mean when you wake up and the rest of your day. I think at night for me, it can feel like spiritual, because I grew up religious. And so sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, is there some kind of entity in my room? And do I have to like pray and all of this stuff? And sometimes I still catch myself saying kind of compulsive prayers. So that's something that can be compulsive as well. I think, yeah, just letting that feeling come and go when you feel scared at night can be helpful, because then you learn that there's nothing that's going to happen if you get to the end of that feeling. It's just the feeling's over, and now you feel like, oh, I can handle that feeling. You can handle the fear. You can always handle the fear. Okay, that's all for sleeping. I hope that was helpful. If you know anyone that's struggling, you can send them this episode because it might be helpful for them to hear from someone else that does struggle with this from time to time. It can just be a very isolating experience and exhausting to deal with any type of obsessions with sleep or dreams and all that stuff. So let's do a Dear Abby. I was also just told that Aloe Yoga has a product called Magnesium Reset, and it's basically like a spray or a serum or something that you put at the bottom of your feet before you go to bed, and it works wonders, I've heard, to where you can sleep just peacefully and you fall asleep fast and you stay asleep. So that might work if you're having trouble sleeping. It's the Aloe Magnesium Reset spray or serum or something. So you could check that out if you're curious about that. Okay, let's do a Dear Abby. Okay, I've gotten a lot of text messages lately, but there are a few voicemails, but I always want more texts, more voicemails. So if you have a question, anything that you want to ask, a question about anything, literally anything, you can send it in, and I will answer it probably in the next couple of episodes. So this one says, Dear Abby, I have been listening to the podcast for about a year, and I listened to what we said when you talked about going through your divorce. Seeing you grow since then has been a blessing, and I'm so happy for you and Kian. Thank you. That's crazy that it's been a while since I've been... That's crazy that it's been like more than 2 years since I was talking about that. That's weird. I just recently met a guy from Hinge. I typically don't meet someone from Hinge that I get along with, but I met this guy and we started by texting and have been texting a lot the past week. So he made plans with me to hang out. We played tennis, which I'm really bad at and was nervous for, but it was so much fun and I somehow played better than I did before. It's the beginner's first date look. We have many things in common and it just felt so easy to be around him. He is nice and funny and he thinks I'm funny. That's important. That is important. Which is one of the best compliments ever. I feel like I already like him a lot and he seems to reciprocate that he liked hanging out with me. However, I plan to move out of state in a year to pursue career opportunities in fashion. Oh, that's exciting. I'm curious to know what specifically in fashion. Should I continue things that are going on or be cautious as it feels like our time is temporary and has a time limit? What do you think? Sorry for the long message. My name is also Abby, but minus the E. Haha. Love from Colorado. I think if you like him and you're having fun, then just keep it going. Like, you can FaceTime and call, and if he ever just kind of stops reaching out or if he ever becomes wishy-washy and stops talking, then okay, then you kind of got your answer. But I feel like if you like someone, just because you're moving doesn't mean you have to cut them off completely. I think it would be good to just stay in contact if you're looking for a relationship and you really like him and you feel like it was going well. Then just get to know him and continue to get to know him. And if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. But you never know unless you try. So I think it's always worth pursuing. However, I will say if you do feel like you want to pull away and you feel like you want to use it as an excuse to not talk to him anymore, then that's probably a sign. And if you're on each other's minds later on in months down the road or weeks down the road, whenever after you move, then someone will reach out regardless. You or him will probably reach out to the other. And I don't know if you live in Colorado, like your family lives there, but you'll probably be back. I don't know. Either way, I know this is not helpful, but it's not weird if you do. It's not weird if you don't. It's just, if you think it's a hassle to stay in touch, then it's probably not going to be that much. Then it's probably not going to be worth it. But if you are excited to keep in touch, and just to see where it goes, then just stay in touch. I apologize if it was not helpful at all. Like I said, I am very tired today. So that is the one negative of not getting sleep, is you cannot really think as clearly or as straight the next day for a podcast. Okay, that's all for today's episode. Next week, we'll be doing an episode on relationship anxiety and relationship OCD again. So I'm very excited for that. I think I was going to do that this week, but I had to change some things around. So I will be doing that next week. And yeah, so stay tuned for that. Thank you guys so much for listening to my podcast. And thank you for listening to this week's episode of Dear Abby. I hope this helped anyone that has sleep stuff, sleep fears and sleep stuff. You guys are the best. Have a good weekend. Be kind to yourself. Take yourself out. See you next week. Love you. Bye. Oh, hedge on taking a ride to join at late. 눈치 보면서 들어갈 때 찾아.